wonderful to be with you all again. If you have a Bible on you, can I encourage you just to turn back to the Mark passage, which is going to be the focus for this morning. The title, as Hugh's already said, is Spending Time Alone with God, or perhaps Why Spend Time Alone with God. And I think this is a really time with Jesus. I shared a few weeks ago, we were looking at the Lord's Prayer. And while I was just sharing some thoughts about that, I said that Jesus, one thing that we see throughout the Gospels is Jesus prays at all times in all places about all circumstances. And if it's good enough for Jesus, it should probably be good enough for me. And I think I would still stand by that. And so my first sort of thought as I was thinking about, well, why should we spend time alone with God, is, well, Jesus, the Son of God, felt like it was important to spend time alone with God. And so I sort of feel like I probably should too. But I think one of the things I love about this this moment in time captured with Jesus by Mark is I often think to myself, I wonder what it was like being a disciple of Jesus. I wonder what it felt like to follow him for 2-3 years, see the things that he did firsthand. I often think it must have been very exciting, very awe-inspiring, perhaps sometimes terrifying, actually, as they could see the Pharisees and the rulers of the time, the people who were really important, getting increasingly angry with the things that Jesus was doing and saying, and knowing that I was associated with him. But I think there's also possibly an element, or on occasions, where perhaps actually the disciples felt quite frustrated, possibly slightly bewildered or confused, never quite knowing what Jesus is going to do next. I don't know, perhaps you've had an experience of working with, or I don't know, maybe living with someone who's quite unpredictable. You're not quite sure what they're going to do. Perhaps they seem quite spontaneous. Of course, actually, as we, there is no person really who's totally unpredictable. We just have to understand them well enough, understand their motives, what drives them, and often lots of things that seem quite unpredictable on the surface, we can begin to predict. But in Mark, we read this this story that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house and went off to a solitary place. Now, we read in the preceding verses that the previous evening, after sunset, the people, in fact, the whole town in which Jesus was staying, was gathered at his door, and they were bringing all of their sick to him for healing, and that Jesus healed them. And it says in verse 34, he also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. So that was the night before. So if we can imagine that, there's people crowding in, there's no room to move, and these people are being healed and given fresh lease of life, and it's incredibly exciting. And then you wake up the next morning, probably still buzzing a little bit, and thinking, oh, what's today going to be like? And everyone wants to see Jesus. Perhaps there were still some people who had been coming and hadn't quite made it to the town the night before. And so they've arrived. Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? My brother, my sister, my mother, they need his healing. Where is he? And you can't find him. He hasn't told anyone where he's gone. He's just disappeared. And so we read Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." And the amazing thing that we read in reply, which is the next verse after the passage that was read for us this morning, is Jesus said to them, "Let's go somewhere else, because that's why I've come." You see, I think the second thing that I wanted to say about why we might spend time alone with God is that to the world, and certainly, I think, in our day, in our culture, prayer seems like the most monumental waste of time. Why would you pray? I was having a conversation with someone a week or two ago, and I was telling them that as a church, we've been meeting every week on a Sunday evening to pray for Brexit. This person isn't a Christian. And they looked at me and they sort of laughed, and they said, "Oh, you're going to have to do a bit more than pray." I didn't take him up on why I thought he was wrong about that. But to the world, prayer seems like a waste of time and energy. What good is praying going to do? You need to get out there and do. You need to change. You need to be campaigning. You need to be out on the road. You need to be meeting people. You need to be doing things. We're potentially going to have an election before the end of the year, and that is exactly what our politicians will do. And that is perfectly right for a politician. That is what they need to do. They need to get out and meet people, talk to them, listen to their stories. But Jesus didn't come to be a politician. He didn't come to be an aid worker. He came to save people. And in prayer, we not only get the opportunity to change God's mind, which is unbelievable and astounding, and we can't quite wrap our heads around how exactly that works, but the Bible tells us it does. But we actually give ourselves the opportunity to be changed by God's heart. That's one of the reasons why we need to spend time alone with God. Because when we're alone, we can listen. We can listen much better. And we can allow ourselves to be changed. Of course, we do need to get out and play our part. It's why one of our values is about living for the kingdom. It's about making a difference, about helping to bring the kingdom of God in our world. And that is often done through positive action. But for Jesus, we read that it was this time very early in the morning, while it was still dark, when he got up, left the house, went to a solitary place, prayed, and God put it on his heart to go somewhere else. There was plenty of need where he was. It wasn't that everything was healed, everything was sorted out, and nobody needed anything. But he was being led by the Spirit to go somewhere else. Because Jesus didn't come to fulfill his own agenda, here to achieve his own manifesto, Jesus came to do the will of God. He came to fulfill God's agenda. And unless we listen to God and spend time alone with him, we won't be able to do the same. We can't do it in our own strength. Our time alone, our prayer alone, can look like many things. Charlie was talking yesterday about all sorts of different ways that we can pray. Even throughout the day, we might choose a different way. We might start off with listening to God, asking for him to prepare us for the day. And then maybe later on in the day, around midday, we might start petitioning. We might start asking for things. We might start bringing the needs of the world and the people that we've met before him, that we have seen, and the things that we've experienced that day. It can happen in all sorts of ways. But we give God the opportunity to change us. Because we too are called not to be about people's business, but to be about God's business. And the only way we find out what God's up to is by looking to him and listening. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, it's recorded that Jesus said, "The Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing." I don't know about you, but I want to only do what I see God doing. I want to only be about what God is doing. But I won't be able to see that on my own. We can't. Our eyes are incredible, and they pick up fascinating amounts of detail. But we need the Spirit. We need God's help in order to be able to see what he is doing, to be able to join in. And we do that by praying alone. One of the questions that that Charlie brought to us yesterday, and that actually has been something that Malcolm, I think, has been talking to us as a community about, is this story from Esther, where she is. It said to her, "Perhaps God has brought you to this place for such a time as this." And the question for us that we reflect on for St. Mary's is, what has God put us in this place for? And as a church community, what has God brought you here for? What has God got for you to do? What is your contribution? That might be in the life of St. Mary's here. It might be in the wider town of Loughton or the neighbourhood where you live. Perhaps in your workplace or with your family, your friends, wherever it is. Jesus said, "Let's go somewhere else, because that's why I've come." Why have you come here? Why have you moved to this area? And what is God asking of you? What is God asking of me here? I think the only way we can find out is to spend time alone with God. Quite overwhelming. We think, well, I don't know. I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what he's called me here for. Often get, actually, the whole answer in one go, straight away. Got it. We get a little bit at a time. Enough to take the next step. Enough to do something. It's not about a percentage score. It's not about how far, how quickly can I be achieving the things of God. But it's about our heart. Are we listening? Are we waiting? Are we looking? Are we watching to see what God is doing? And are we following him when we see it? That is the life of a disciple. And actually, the disciples who followed Jesus, it seems to me, very rarely knew what he was about, but they knew to just follow and trust. And I think that's what we're encouraged to do too. Amen.